Welcome to the Snowfighters Institute podcast, coming from some of the most interesting people in the professional snow and ice management industry. To learn about their successes, to hear about the challenges they've faced along the way, and to have their perspective on critical issues facing our industry today. Before we get started, I'd like to invite you to follow our social media feeds and to check out our upcoming events at snowfightersinstitute.com. Please welcome your host, Phil Harwood.
All right, welcome back, Snowfighters. I am so excited to have back with us Gene Stork from Stork's Plows, and excited to catch up with Gene again and hear what's new in his world. And we've had some snow, which is a good thing, so I want to hear about that. And we have some exciting events coming up, so we want to talk about those things. But Gene, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so first of all, we've had some snow, so that's a good thing, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
How's that affected you? Obviously, the orders have been coming in, I'm sure, but...
Yeah, so the last couple of years, we're almost always busy up until the end of the year, even without snow. But once you hit that New Year's Eve, and we didn't have snow, and there's nothing in the forecast, it just dies off. But this year, they were calling for snow that first week of the year, so we came back from New Year's Eve running, and... it didn't really stop until about a week ago.
That's great. Fantastic. So you guys are run ragged. You have no more inventory. Everything's wiped out.
Yeah, we still have a lot of inventory. We're pretty good at that.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Yeah. You've also had a new addition to your family since I spoke to you last.
Yeah, my daughter turned 6 months on Monday.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It's been pretty exciting. We've got three older ones, and it's really fun to see how they really just love taking care of her, excited to see her. You know, I love having a baby at home. Wasn't expected, but I would not trade it.
Yeah, it's great. Fantastic. And congratulations.
Thanks.
Growing the family. So you guys have been in your new place now for what, 2 years?
We're at about a year and a half that we've been fully functional out of here. We've owned it 3.5 years, but it took a while to get stuff going. But yeah, for a year and a half now, we've been running out of here.
Yeah. So one of the really excited things that I knew we were going to be talking about here is Snow Alliance. Mm-hmm. So that is coming up April 25th and 26th this year.
Yep.
I was able to make it there last year, and it was a great event. I think last year was, this will be your third year, right?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. So last year, I mean, it was just, there were a ton of people there. I mean, there must have been well over 100 people there, but educational sessions and little trade show thing going on. I had a booth there. We had a Snowfighters booth. So thank you for allowing us the space for that. And I just met so many great people there, but It was nice to see the facility and just have all this energy around the snow business, you know.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I've always loved about the industry. It just seems like you either love this industry or you don't. And for the people that do love it and they show up, they're into it. So they love talking about equipment. They love learning. They love meeting people. And I just think Snow Alliance is just such a great platform for that. So talk to us about this year. What's lined up for this year?
Yeah. So we started the first year with an afternoon. It started around noon. We did the trade show and had the evening panel, and that's all it was. And as we asked what people would want, they wanted it longer. They wanted education. So last year we did a full day. We started classes at like 8 a.m. and then did the afternoon trade show and then the panel and dessert and networking in the evening. So three full meals. This year, Case Construction Equipment came to us and, you know, we were looking at making it even longer, and they said they wanted to partner with us and do a welcome party. So we have an offsite welcome party this year on the 25th, Friday night, at a restaurant that used to be an old train station in the city that high ceilings. It's got the old booths. It was converted into like a tap house and restaurant. So really cool place, has a nice outside area. They're going to get some fires burning for us.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's going to be exciting with that addition and the extra ability for networking. Cause what I've found with Snow Alliance is the best part of the whole thing is just the ability to network and connect with others. Mm-hmm. The education, the trade show, that all comes second to us. I mean, that's all a piece of it and it's exciting, but really being able to connect with others is the priority. So Saturday will be very similar to what it was last year. Our education portion is going to be all panels.
Nice.
So instead of having someone up there teaching, or we did some hands-on stuff last year, we're going to have five different classes that are all panels. So there'll be people sitting up front that you can ask questions to, and you know, they can discuss how they do it versus someone else.
Oh, that's cool. What are some of the topics for the panels?
So we have family business and partnerships, getting the contracts, pricing and estimates right, how to take care of your vendor partners, should I lease, rent, or own my equipment, and retention, training, and culture. So nice. That's the five classes.
Perfect.
And then there is still the main panel in the evening that is more snow related, that is kind of an open conversation. Jordan Smith from BSI is going to be the mediator for that. And we're going to take questions ahead of time, as well as you'll be able to text in questions during the thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So we're growing it a little bit from last year. So one of the struggles we found last year with that is we made it too broad in the evening panel. And when you say, ask a question about anything, all of a sudden they can't come up with a question. But if we pinpoint it, then people had questions. But we also found as we filled the room, it was more intimidating to ask a question. So we're going to have it so you can text in and you don't have to worry about raising your hand in a room of 225 people.
Yeah, right. Wow. Is that what you're expecting?
So that's our headcount for this, or our max headcount for this year. Okay. Our first year was 125, then we upped it 50 to 175 last year. And this year we moved it to 225. We had opening day yesterday for ticket sales, and we're at like 110 tickets between sponsors and the ones that sold yesterday. So we're halfway there already.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're interested, jump over to storksplows.com and look for that registration link, and hopefully it's not sold out. And if it is, put it on your calendar for next year.
Yep.
No, that's exciting. Fantastic. So, and Jordan will be great. He's great at facilitating those panels, and you probably have other facilitators for the other sessions as well.
Yep.
Yeah. And the food will be great. The Friday night networking sounds fantastic. So Friday night is evening, and then Saturday, the 26th is pretty much all day. Sounds like
all day, just like last year. We have breakfast, lunch, and dinner here.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. And it's a good way to, kind of get the year, just get some new ideas for next year. It's, at the end of the winter, so you can kind of process in your mind what maybe needs attention over the summer, or what kind of questions you have, and meet some new people that maybe you can collaborate with. I like that it's, well before symposium. And so, you can even reconvene with some of the folks that you met at symposium if you want, if you can make it to Grand Rapids this year, my hometown, for symposium. But no, that sounds great. Anything else on Snow Alliance before we move on?
I don't think so.
Okay. Then Snow Fighters is coming back to your facility in September.
Yes, I'm excited about
it. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Just saying, I'm excited about that. That was really nice having them here last year. I mean, just owning this building has opened up doors that we could never have opened before. Just having the space where we could provide it for stuff like this is exciting.
Yeah, no, it's such a great space. Great, great building. And we enjoyed being there. It was, you guys are great hosts. And so the dates are September 10th and 11th. This is ops management. So this is operational focused. And we're going to change things up a little bit this year. We're excited about a fresh approach and new agenda, and some new topics that we're going to be covering. And so that information will all be available well before that event at snowfightersinstitute.com. But just to have those dates on your calendar, if you want to get them on your calendar, September 10th and 11th, and that will be at Gene's facility there in Leesport, Pennsylvania, yep, at Storks Plows. And so I want to get that in your schedule. And then obviously our first Snow Fighter event is called Inner Circle, and we want to just mention that as well, because that's actually the same week as Snow Alliance. It's earlier in the week. It's a smaller group. We're not going to have 225 people there. In fact, we cap out Inner Circle at 25 because it's a small, more exclusive event. And that'll be Monday and Tuesday of that week, the 21st, 22nd. Again, that information's at snowfightersinstitute.com. So, moving away from the events, just I want to talk about the industry and what's happening, and maybe some, you know, maybe some new things, some new equipment, or maybe some new technology that maybe you can share with us, since you are a purveyor of all things snow. What's new and exciting in the world of stuff?
So I actually just got off a call or a Zoom thing that was releasing new stuff, but it's not. Some of it's being released next week at NTEA, and some is being released at SIMA, so we're not allowed to talk about that stuff. As far as what's new this past year, that we can talk about, Western, Fisher, SnowX, they basically cross their spreaders, and instead of only being able to get augers from SnowX, you can now get them from Fisher and Western, and you can get drag chains from SnowX. The new Western Marauder with the auger has been a huge seller for us this year. A lot of people have switched over to those augers and been very happy with them. A change that we've seen locally is we've had a lot of ice. This year has been way more ice than snow. So our spreader sales and like walk behind spreaders and things like that, shovels, they have all multiplied from what we've sold before, where plow sales are not where they've always been, but the spreader stuff is definitely really high this year. So I don't know how many other areas we're experiencing that, but I know here and up into New York, they've been getting a lot of ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've heard the same thing. So, no, that totally makes sense. And I don't know if that's just a 1 year thing or if it's more of a seasonal thing, but obviously we're in a little bit of a warming trend, right? You know, I mean, back when I was in high school, you know, everyone was talking about the ice age coming in and the whole world was going to freeze over. And, you know, that was only a few years ago, a couple of years ago. Now we're in a little warming phase. So, you know, maybe those next few years are going to be some more, but you got to be ready for all that stuff, right? You got to be ready for everything. What is it about those, you talked about the augers. I mean, just talk to us about that a little bit more if maybe someone is super familiar.
The difference between, like, people come in all the time and say, what do you prefer? What's better? It really depends on what you're doing and what, kind of material you're putting down. So an auger will operate best off clean rock salt. It's not going to be as efficient if you're starting to use anything besides that. Where a drag chain, you can spread cinders or whatever. It'll pretty much push out whatever you put in there. But the auger does not have bearings, so it's lower maintenance. It also does not leave the spreader, where the chain drops around the bottom of the spreader and leaves salt laying the bed of the truck. So the auger, it's an enclosed unit, so it never does that. And it comes out smooth. So when it's hitting the spinner, it's a consistent pattern of salt falling onto the spinner. Mm-hmm. With a drag chain, you're kind of dropping one chunk at a time in between those links onto the spinner. So you get kind of a pattern that's shooting the salt out into the parking lot. So that would be some of the bigger differences that people who don't know aren't aware of. Mm-hmm. Of what it is, but you can also spread a lot more material with the chain. If you're doing a highway and you're cranking that thing up at a pretty good speed, you're never going to get that flow out of the smaller auger. But most guys doing parking lots are probably never turning that dial up beyond halfway.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So they've got more than enough material coming out for what they're doing.
What kind of demand are you seeing for liquid application equipment?
So this year, I hear a lot of talk of salt shortage, which has brought up, I think, the conversation here locally more than it has been in the past. People are starting to, not just on the other side of it, where it's better for the environment, you use less salt, all that. But now it's, okay, I'm struggling to get salt. So should I be considering doing more liquid material to be able to service my sites? We've been in liquids for a long time. I don't remember when we first ordered in the SnowX liquid equipment back in the beginning when they came out with it, but it was probably, you know, in the early 2000s. And they said within, you know, 5 or 7 years, it's going to be huge. Well, 5 and 7 years have passed. And I feel like Now we're starting to get to where they thought it was going to be 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely a lot of benefits to it. The guys who have switched over, I mean, a lot of people promote starting with something small like sidewalks. You can buy a sidewalk unit for $1,000 and be putting down brine and start to see the benefit and understand where the cost savings are, where, you know, how it helps your client. And that's a very small investment. So we sell totes of brine, 265-gallon totes, to make it
simple. Okay.
They could buy a sidewalk unit, that tote of brine, and for $1,300, they're out and running and putting down brine on all their sidewalks.
Nice.
So very small investment to get started. But what we found with a lot of guys who do that, it's not long before they're back and they want a sprayer in the back of their UTV or they want pre-wet tanks on their spreader or something. You know, they're taking the next step. Mm-hmm. So that's where we recommend people start, because there are guys who have done it and they're like, ah, we just don't like it, or our guys won't use it or something. So, you know, if you go out there and you make the $30,000, $40,000 investment to get a brine maker and tanks and all that, it's, you know, that's probably not where you want to start.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's good advice. And we've always recommended that at Snowfighters as well, starting small. What are your thoughts about, you know, direct liquid application versus, you know, kind of that pre-wet or wet at the spinner technology? Is it just personal choice or application, or what are you seeing as far as what, you know, orders in terms of volumes of orders?
We don't sell a lot of the pre-wet systems for on the side of spreaders.
Okay.
They tend to be, well, I think all the liquid stuff tends to be expensive, but they tend to be expensive for what you're going to spend half as much as the cost of the spreader just to put those tanks on the side. Mm-hmm. So not many people go with it. It clearly activates the salt faster and improves it, but is that worth the investment? It's a hard call, and I think it's harder to calculate that versus doing a brine system.
Yeah, well, I was kind of just curious about where the industry was going, and you're seeing that in terms of what you sell, what product people want. It sounds like direct application is what people are buying.
Yeah, mostly. And we stock all of those pre-wet kits for the spreaders we sell because we want to have it. But off the top of my head, I know we've sold maybe 4 or 5 units here, and that's it. It's not been a big move in the industry from what I can tell.
Okay. No, that's cool. Thank you for that. What else is exciting, new to talk about with equipment or tools or other products that you're offering, maybe?
Since Western's our biggest brand, I mean, we're not afraid of any brand. We do everything that's in snow and ice, especially when it comes to used stuff. But when it comes to new, Western's our number one brand that we sell. So for us, the new Live Edge pusher boxes have been exciting. You know, they went from the original rubber edge to the one piece steel edge that didn't quite work like people expected. And now they've got the Live Edge box, and we've got a lot of those out there, and most guys are very happy with them. That's the way it contours to the ground versus, mm-hmm. We sold a lot of those straight edge boxes, and you got a 16-foot wide box with 2 8-foot straight edges and an uneven parking lot. Unfortunately, it does not clean.
So I used to have a bunch. Yes.
Yeah. When you go to a 2-foot carbide piece that's floating, those sections can, they're only 2 feet wide, so they can stay with the macadam no matter how rough it is. This winter, when the storms we got here, that's what I used. I threw our 10-foot one on a skid steer here and plowed our parking lot with it a couple times to see it work. And yeah, it definitely does a great job.
Yeah. No, it's just way better, and a lot less salt usage on the back end.
Yeah.
You're not trying to, burn off 2 inches of hard pack.
Yeah.
If you don't get to it quickly, that can be a skating rink.
Mm-hmm.
I know from experience.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What about just overall? I think last time we spoke, we talked a lot about the history of the business and kind of the evolution of the, family business and growth and getting online and doing online sales. Has that continued to really grow for you guys, the online orders? And I'm sure you ship things probably ship all over the world, don't you?
We do, yeah. Yeah, we've got a regular customer, a bunch of regular customers in other countries I mean, our website does the U.S. and Canada. Outside of there, they've got to reach out to us. But yeah, we've got a number of customers in other countries that just email us orders and we ship to them.
Yeah, no, that's great.
But yes, the internet sales have been great. Definitely carried us through the bad years.
Sure.
The last couple of years where we didn't get local snow, they were getting snow in other areas, and we were able to ship parts quickly to, if their local dealer doesn't have it in stock, we can get it out to them and they've got it in 3 days rather than waiting for their dealer to get it 5 days or whatever. Or we overnight it to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This was a good year for it. I think we had, in December when the storm, maybe it was early January when the storms were starting to hit here, we were filling full pallets of just overnights.
Wow.
We take all our expedited and put them on a separate pallet so that UPS can process those quicker. And we were filling like 2 pallets a day of just overnight packages, which is crazy. But
yeah,
they needed it.
Right. Well, you're also in your new facility. You're so visible there and, you're really on the map. I would imagine you have people that drive probably great distances to just go right to the parts counter and grab something and head back to the office, right?
Yep. Out of state license plates in the parking lot every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's fantastic. Well, I wish I would have known about Storx Plows back when I was running my company, because we definitely needed a lot of the things that you sell. And some of those things are hard to find. You had to scramble. And, I remember admin staff, just spending enormous amount of time looking for things to buy at the right price and to try to how to configure all the orders so we could optimize, shipping discounts and volume price discounts. And it would have been so nice to just go get it from Storx.
Yeah.
Be done with it. All right. What else is on your mind, Gene?
I don't know.
I think we hit the topics I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about Snow Alliance. I'm super excited to be part of Snow Alliances again this year. April 25th, 26th. Hopefully it's not sold out. Go to storxplows.com. Check it out. Hopefully you can still register.
We had the first day people, but I think they'll start going slowly now. But I don't think they're going to last till the end. There's been a lot of hype about this one. I think anyone that was at the first two realized that there's a lot of value here. And I think that the is just going to continue to grow. I mean, I don't know how much bigger we can get because I don't want to get to the point where it starts to lose that value.
Yeah.
So that's why we are kind of incrementally stepping it up. till I feel we're at a point where it's like, okay, that, well, we went a little too far. Let's back it up. And
well, you could probably get 225 in your main hall there, but yeah, you're not going to get 500 in there.
No. So we're actually moving the dinner into the skating rink.
Oh, okay.
Because that's a larger room. So we'll still we'll do the panel in where it was last year.
Okay. That makes sense.
In the main room without the tables, because it starts to get pretty full, and adding another 50 people and tables and seats, I think we're going to be out of space. So the dinner and everything can be set up in a whole other room while the panel's going on. And we'll be able to transition over there after the panel and have plenty of space. So,
okay. So for the person who has not visited your facility and got the full tour and who's going, what are you talking about skating rink? Because it's April.
Yep. So our building used to be a family fun center. So we have a go-kart track and climbing walls and a skating rink. We used to have laser tag and all that stuff. Anything a family fun center had. We had bumper boats and mini golf course. But now it's pretty much most of that's been moved out. We still do have climbing walls and a full skating rink with roller skates. But a lot of the other stuff we had to move out to get our stuff in here. So
yeah. I think after dinner, you get some skates on everyone, have them sign a release and just go for it.
Yeah. Last year, Jordan did his presentation on roller skates. We said it as a joke hilarious. In the beginning, and then he did the entire presentation on roller skates.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. That's beautiful. All right. Well, hopefully you can make it to Snow Alliance, whoever's listening to this podcast. I'll be there. Gene will be there.
Yep.
Jordan will be there. A bunch of other great snow folks from across the country will be there. So, Gene, thanks again for taking time out to do this. It was good to catch up with you. Congratulations on your daughter joining the team. And I'm excited about what's on the agenda for this year. And glad it snowed finally. And
yep.
Moves and product.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. You bet. Take care. See you soon.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Snow Fighters Institute podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, become a subscriber today so you won't miss any future episodes. Don't forget, please check out our upcoming events at snowfightersinstitute.com.